things. Nehemiah chapter number 4, I want you to see two words in verse number 7 that really communicate the idea of defense and protection. They're the words walls and breaches. In this text, obviously, Nehemiah is facing some opposition. He's facing some enemies that really don't want these things to happen. But Nehemiah is intent on building walls and stopping breaches. The walls are the big things that protect the majority of the city. The breaches are the little cracks. They're the places where the gates were, that they no longer exist, where the enemy could creep in through the breaches. I'm preaching tonight on this thought, close the breaches. I'm preaching on close the breaches. Nehemiah and his team and the nation of Israel were making great progress on the walls. Rapid fortifications were being made to secure the city of Jerusalem and to protect it with walls and stopping the breaches. I believe that in the church business today, or within the local church, God is doing great things in people's lives. Through the preaching of God's Word, through the fellowship of the believers, through the edification of the saints, through training, biblical training, God is doing some great things in lives, and lives are being fortified for the glory of God. But mark it down, the enemy is looking for a breach. They're always looking for a breach. In Nehemiah chapter 1, verse number 3, go back to that chapter of Scripture in Nehemiah at the beginning of this book. What drew Nehemiah to this project was that there was a reproach that was taking place. The word reproach means shame. It means to bring disgrace upon. It means to shame the name of Christ before the world. In Nehemiah 1, verse number 3, the Bible says, "And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire." What was Nehemiah saying? He was saying the walls and the breaches, the walls were gone and the breaches were wide open. And he says as a result of that, the people are living under a reproach or a shame or a disgrace before their enemies. When a church becomes a reproach to the world, the foes of the church, the lost, say things like this. See, I told you so. They love to say that. They like to say things like, see, religion doesn't work after all, does it? They like to say things like, yep, the glory's departed. They like to say, well, Mount Zion used to be. They like to say, that place is dead, or DOA, dead on arrival. It's when they can say, yep, that church is a mess. Walls and breaches are built not only to keep the bad out, but to keep the good in. And when a church goes down in a community, the name of Christ bears the reproach of it. When a church no longer adheres to the cardinal doctrines of the faith, when a church splits and splinters into all kinds of different groups, the name of Christ is reproached. There's a shame, there's a disgrace with the name of Christ. In Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 7, they were working diligently to stop the breaches. The Bible says, "And that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth." The enemy was very wroth because the breaches were being closed. The cracks, the openings, the entry points where the enemy could get in, those were being closed, and as a result, the enemy was frustrated with the progress that was taking place. Recently, we've had some problems with mice in our annex building. I believe it's fixed. We still have some traps and things in place, but mice look for an entrance into the building. That's all they look for. And when it gets cold, they really want an entrance into a warm building. When they get an entrance into the warm building, once they get into the building, they can make their way almost anywhere. They can get in the ceiling. They can get into rooms. They can get into a kitchen. They can almost get anywhere. You understand that when we leave a breach open for the enemy, once the enemy gets in, the enemy many times can infiltrate anywhere and almost everywhere. That's why the breaches have to be closed. On August 29, 2005, Hurricane Katrina hit the city of New Orleans. How many of you remember that? I think we had a group that, well, they didn't go down to New Orleans, but they went down to Mississippi at one of the hurricanes and helped rebuild and do some things for an independent Baptist church down there. The reason New Orleans was flooded, it was because there was a failure of over 50 levees that were not prepared to manage the water that hit New Orleans. That is, if I could reterm it accurately, 50 breaches. You can go and look that up on the internet, and you can find, and they show you a map of where the different breaches were, where the different levees were, that either broke down or they were overwhelmed with the water. And as a result, 100 homes and businesses were, 100,000 homes and businesses were destroyed because 50 breaches were open. 100,000 homes and businesses were destroyed. You understand that when a breach is open, it can do a lot of damage. A lot of things can come through a breach. In Isaiah 22 and verse number 9, it talks about the breaches of the city of David. Here's what the Bible says about it. Ye have seen also the breaches of the city of David, that they are many. That they are many. There was a time in the city of David that there were many breaches in that city. While Nehemiah was working to stop the breaches, physically speaking, we're talking about repairing gates and we're talking about building walls and we're trying to box this town in to protect this city of Jerusalem. There were numerous breaches that he also had to be alert to spiritually. I'm not talking primarily about building a physical breach tonight as much as I'm talking to you about repairing spiritual breaches in your life. We must be alert to them. What is a breach, preacher? It's a crack. It's a gap. It is that which, when it is cracked, leaves something precious and valuable exposed and vulnerable. That's what a breach is in our lives. When there's a spiritual breach, we have left an opening into an area of our lives that could affect precious things that we value. Breaches are important to pay attention to. Spiritually speaking, a repairer of a breach is one who restores the right way, beginning with himself. Tonight, I want to speak on the breaches that occurred in Nehemiah's day while he was trying to build the walls and stop the breaches. I want you to look at some breaches that he was facing spiritually with the people and spiritually among himself that he had to give attention to and that we should learn to give attention to in our lives. By way of introduction, there are some foundational truths I want to get to you. Number one, breaches will occur. They will occur in all of our lives. None of us are exempt from breaches occurring in our lives. There are times where we have breaches spiritually. Peter had a breach. He had a breach of fear. And the enemy capitalized on it right before the crucifixion of Christ. Remember when he was asked, "Are you a Galilean? Are you with Christ?" And he denied the Lord three times out of fear. Did not want to identify with Christ. There was a breach in his life. There's a breach in his life at that moment in time. He had built many walls. Peter was a good man. Peter had grown in his faith. Peter had learned much under Christ's ministry, but it didn't mean that he was exempt from breaches. And neither are you and neither am I exempt from breaches in our lives. Breaches will occur. The churches in Revelation had breaches. There were things that they were commended for. There were things that they were known for as far as positive. Boy, these things stuck out about those churches. These were the good things. But then Jesus Christ himself, throughout Revelations chapter 2 and 3, marks the breaches in each of the churches that he's speaking to and says, "Hey, here's a breach. You better be alert to it. You better close the breach in this area." In the church at Ephesus, it was the breach of losing your first love. And he said, "Better close that breach. Better give attention to that. Better restore your first love, else it destroys you. Else the candlestick is blown out," so to speak. Breaches occur. They will occur in our lives. Martha had a breach of troubled spirit in serving. She had many things going for her. Boy, she was a servant. But Christ said to her, "Be careful. You're careful about many things. You're anxious about many things." And the breach was she had forgotten what? The one needful thing. and that one needful thing, that breach opened up. And when that breach opened up, it affected her spirit because she had a breach in her walk with the Lord. And Christ was addressing it and saying, hey, don't forget about the one needful thing. Better close that breach up in your life. That's an area of protection. That's something I've given to protect you, to protect your heart, to protect your spirit so your spirit is right. And Martha, you've got a breach. She had a breach in her life. While we experience breaches, the breaches may be different for each of us. But we must come to the second truth that breaches must be repaired. In my home over the years, I've had a little problem with water. I found out that water finds the least way of resistance into your house. And it has found its way into my basement a variety of different times. I have done a number of things to try to help with that. Number one, I found out that the gutters were plugged. And when I first moved into the house, the gutters had holes in them, and so the gutters need replaced. We did that first. Then I found out that one of my gutters was plugged, and that brought the water, filled the water over the gutters, and went straight down into the ground and came into my house. So we learned we've got to clean the gutters very often because we have pine trees around our house. Second thing I did was I found out that the gutters that come straight down on the right side of the house were not going out far enough. And so the water was going straight down the ground and was coming into my house. Third thing I found out was that there was a crack on the left side of my house between the sidewalk where it connects. And so we patched that crack up. You say, preacher, what were you doing all those things for? I was trying to stop the breach. Because the water finds a way to get in. It finds the breach. Did you know the enemy finds the breach? The enemy knows how to find the breach. Those breaches had to be plugged up. If I didn't stop them, the problem would what? Get smaller? No, the problem's going to what? Expand. That water's going to make a bigger problem down at my foundation, along my foundation, and so I had to work to stop the breaches. My friend, if you don't repair the breaches in your life, they don't get better. They get worse. As the breaches start to get larger, the worldly spirit starts to get into your life. And the fruits of the Spirit are no longer manifest in your life because you've let a breach go and you've let it go for a while and it's gotten bigger and it's affected more of your heart and the enemy walks in and gets into more areas and territory of your heart. That's what happens in a Christian's life. And so we must repair the breaches. Breaches are where the enemy strikes. In Isaiah 59 verse 19, the Bible says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. That's an interesting comparison in the Scripture. It comes in like a flood. That means it's looking for a place to enter. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Let me give you the fourth thing about breaches in the introduction. Leaders have to identify breaches and give direction to repair them. That was Nehemiah's job. Nehemiah had a lot of people doing a lot of work. Nehemiah was a worker. They were in it all together, but Nehemiah could see the breaches. And because he could see the breaches and he could help close the breaches, the city would be refortified again. Tonight I want to share some breaches that Nehemiah faced spiritually. And in order to repair the walls physically, he would have to deal and overcome and close the spiritual breaches that were before him. By the way, these breaches enter into an individual and by extension they enter into a church. And so what we're dealing with as far as breaches, if not dealt with in an individual's life, it will affect a church. It can affect the church. The first breach I want you to see is the breach of withdrawal. The breach of withdrawal. When you read Nehemiah chapter 3, Nehemiah chapter 3 is a fun chapter to read. It's not a chapter that has a lot of deep Bible truth, but it lists name after name after name of people that were working on repairing the walls and the gates. They were working together to accomplish a large goal of rebuilding the city of Jerusalem and making it a safe place to live. However, one little group the Bible makes note of in this chapter is the nobles. In Nehemiah chapter 3 and verse number 5, I want you to see the commentary that is written in the Scripture about the nobles. and next unto them the Tekoites repaired. But their nobles put not their necks to the work of the Lord. Maybe these people were just really busy. Maybe their hearts weren't into what was taking place. Maybe they felt that they were above this kind of work. Maybe they were busy with other things. But the Bible doesn't give the reason. The Bible just says that they withdrew from the work. They did not put their necks to the work. A breach in a Christian's life occurs when we withdraw ourselves from Christian service. When we withdraw ourselves from the work of the Lord, there's something going on inside that's not good. 99% of the time, that's true. And I understand we have some folks that get up in years and they can no longer do what they used to do. Certainly, I'm not speaking about that kind of an individual here. But I am speaking about somebody that could be doing the work of the Lord, but is not doing the work of the Lord, has chosen to withdraw, withhold their talents, their abilities, their efforts for the Lord's service. That's what the nobles did. And it was a breach. It was a breach in the nation of Israel. Can you imagine the people that are lining up around this wall and working and coming to someone's mind, where are the nobles? Oh, they're not here. And the next day comes. Well, maybe they're sick. You give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they're out of town. Maybe something's going on in their family. But the next day comes and we're out building again and everybody's working. And Nobles. Nobles, where are you? They weren't there. A church without a mind to work will be a church that eventually will bring a reproach to Christ. I thank God for so many workers at Mount Zion. I so appreciate the choir and the cast desire and mind to work. I appreciate the Sunday school teachers' diligence to work and prepare. Yesterday I walked in and there were people working. Michelle Peters was working on a bulletin board and putting together a bulletin board for a classroom. And Butch called me yesterday and he's getting ready to fold the bulletins in the morning. And people checking in to make sure everything's recovered and ready to go with all the water damage. The people in sight and sound have a mind to work. I'm thankful for the people that have a mind to work. And if you're not working in our church, you should somewhere. You should be seeking to serve the Lord somewhere. I'm so happy I met with somebody this past Monday. And I had dealt with spiritual gifts a while back. And after that, I got an email from somebody and said, Pastor, I want to sit down with you. I want to talk to you about my gifts and where they can be used in the local church. We sat down, me and my wife together, got an opportunity to talk to them about different ministries and where they could plug in. Why? Because God made us to be able to serve Him. And if you're withdrawing, my friend, there's a breach somewhere. In your spirit, there's something not right. There's something that needs to be repaired. Because where the devil wants to enter is through the breach of withdrawal. Secondly, there's the breach of discouragement. The breach of discouragement. Turn to Ezra chapter 4, if you will. Ezra chapter 4, and look at with me verses 4 through 6. There's another breach that Nehemiah had to deal with. Not only did he have to deal with the breach of withdrawal, and some were withdrawing from serving the Lord, but he had to deal with the breach of discouragement. The Bible says in Ezra chapter 4, verse number 4, then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia, and in the reign of Ahasuerus, in the beginning of his reign, wrote they unto him an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. They were so serious about defeating the purposes of these people that they hired people against them. I have a question for you tonight. What are some of the purposes that God has for you as a Christian? Because one of the targets of the enemy is to frustrate the purposes that God has for you in your life. here are some purposes that I came up for Christians. Number one, to be a witness for Christ. If I'm saved, one of the purposes I'm saved is to be a witness for Jesus Christ. That's one of the purposes. Another purpose was mentioned by Keith on Wednesday night, to be a peculiar people who show forth the praises of God. That's one of the purposes. That's one of the reasons He called us out of darkness into light, is to show forth praises. One of the purposes is to be a reflection of Christ by manifesting the fruits of the Spirit. We are to be image bearers. We are to be image reflectors. That means people ought to see Christ through us. That's one of the purposes. The goal of the Christian life is to be conformed to the pattern or the image of Jesus Christ, to be an edifier of the brethren, to bear one another's burdens. These are purposes. Question, when you're discouraged, can you fulfill any of those? Very difficult to fulfill those purposes when a believer is discouraged. One of the great breaches that Nehemiah faced with the people was the breach of discouragement. Turn to Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. Discouragement frustrates all of these purposes. When the project started in Nehemiah 1, the people were excited. The people said, "Let us rise up and build." But by Nehemiah chapter 4, after they had faced some opposition for a while, discouragement began to settle in. In Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 10, the Bible says, "And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease." Think about these people. These people were people that had come out of captivity. They were people that were trying to rebuild a city where they could live in freedom again. And now they are threatened by the enemy. Awful easy to run here, fearing that they might have freedom for a brief time and then be swept and caught back into captivity. It was very easy for them to give up. It was very easy to come to the conclusion, "Nehemiah, we're not able to do this. We're worn out. The enemy is going to slay us. There's so much rubbish around, Nehemiah. There's no way we're able to do this." These are words of discouragement. How does discouragement come, preacher? It often is caused by frustration. You ever been in a situation where you felt like you were getting on top of things financially? Maybe even able to put some money back in savings and feel like you're making some progress, only to have a couple things in your house break. Things go bad, and you feel like, "Boy, I feel like I'm going in circles. I feel like I'm a hamster on the wheel. Lots of activity, lots of work, but very little progress." Discouragement comes when we face times of frustration. This can happen in the context of marriage. A man or a woman is concerned about their marriage, really burdened about their marriage becoming better, and really praying, "God, change me. Lord, make me the mate that I ought to be," and really getting into the Word and working every day with a focus. "Lord, help me to minister to the needs of my mate. Lord, make our marriage better." But the spouse seems anything but interested in improving the marriage. And frustration sets in to that with that person that has such a desire for things to go forward. And the thought comes to mind, "What's the use? Why do I keep working at this? This person, my mate, is not interested in this. Why should I keep giving myself to this?" Discouragement sets in. It comes through the way of frustration. But it also comes through fatigue. The Bible says the strength of the burden bearers was decayed. They had been bearing. The burdens had been there for some time. They had been working for some time. And they come to Nehemiah and they say, "Nehemiah, this is really heavy." What they were saying is, "We're worn out. We've worked and we've worked and we've worked. And guess what, Nehemiah? There's still a lot of rubbish." What was rubbish? Rubbish was small rocks. Rubbish was stuff that didn't have any value to it. In fact, it was the opposite of valuable. It was a nuisance to them. It kept them from accomplishing what they wanted to accomplish. What is the rubble in life It's the trivial things that waste your time and consume your energy and keep you from the goal at hand. It's getting on the phone to an insurance company and having to deal with an insurance company for 45 minutes on hold. And then you don't get the right person, and you go to the next person, you go to the next person, and you look back at your day and say, wow, what a bunch of rubbish. What a bunch of wasted time. So what eats up time? Discouragement is caused by frustration. It's caused by fatigue. It's caused by fear. Verse number 11, they're afraid of this enemy coming and destroying them at any time. They say they're going to slay us. They're going to cause the work to cease. Fear is a great discourager. It has been responsible for keeping God's people from doing what they have been asked to do. It keeps them from trying something new. It keeps them from going forward. The problem with discouragement is this, my friend. All of us are susceptible to it, and it's contagious. If you spend time with a discouraged person long enough, what's going to happen? You're going to become discouraged. It's going to wear off on you. You're going to begin to think like they do. Discouragement was a breach, and it could be a breach in your life tonight. Truth of the matter is, you could be dealing with discouragement. Elijah dealt with it. Elijah, a man bold, a man powerful in the faith, a man fearless to face the 400 prophets of Baal, but discouraged in 1 Kings chapter 19, where he said, Lord, just take my life. I and only I am the one that stands for you. Just take my life. You know what happened to Elijah? He rested. The angel came to him and fed him. And he rested again. And the angel came to him a second time and fed him again. And he got up and got going again. You can come out of discouragement. I want you to get this from Elijah's life tonight. God ministers to discouraged people. Elijah didn't have to find God. God found Elijah in that passage. The angel came to him in the moments of his life, in the season of his life where he was discouraged. If you're discouraged tonight, you can find encouragement in the Lord. David was ready to be stoned in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse number 6. The people had turned against him on a moment, on a dime. But the Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. And you can close the breach of discouragement. Satan knows that a Christ follower who is discouraged or depressed has limited potential. He knows when we are down, our effectiveness is neutralized as a believer. Our purposes for being a believer are not being accomplished. Discouragement is something serious that you must deal with. You've got to close that breach in your life. I want to take you to a third breach tonight, the breach of internal betrayal. The breach of withdrawal, that was a serious breach that Nehemiah had to deal with. The breach of discouragement was a big breach. There were many within the camp that were discouraged, but the breach of internal betrayal was yet another breach that he had to deal with. Turn to Nehemiah chapter 6. This is when someone on the inside is not true to the cause. This person is not in step with the direction of the leader. This breach is hard to deal with. Christ had this breach. Of the 12 men that followed him, he had one that was a breach in this area. The truth is, Nehemiah had many that were conspiring with Tobiah privately and secretly. I want you to see Nehemiah 6, verses 17 through 19. Moreover, in those days, the nobles of Judah... Oh, this is the same group of people that were not working in Nehemiah chapter 3. Sent many letters unto Tobiah. That was one of the enemies of Nehemiah. And the letters of Tobiah came unto them. There was private communication going on between the two. It's interesting that whenever there's internal betrayal, it's always private. It's always in secret. Look at verse number 18. For there were many in Judah sworn unto him, because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Era, and his son Johanan had taken the daughter of Meshulam, the son of Berechiah. Also they reported his good deeds before me, and uttered my words to him, and Tobiah sent letters to put me in fear, or they were communicating, the enemy was communicating through these people to Nehemiah. They were conspiring. They were creating a breach that would hurt and hinder the work that was taking place. Can you imagine the drain on Nehemiah? To be trying to build the walls, to be trying to handle all the different breaches that are popping up among the people. And then over here in a corner somewhere, there's a group of people that are conspiring against him. In fact, they're in conversation, they're in correspondence, they're in alliance, they're in loyalty with Tobiah. That's what's taking place in Nehemiah chapter number 6. The breach of internal betrayal. Nehemiah had to deal with this breach as well. He treated the nobles as though they were in battle with him. But in truth, they were in battle against him. You understand this breach can happen within a family? Turn to Psalm 55, if you will. Psalm chapter 55. Psalm chapter 55, David is writing. And David says it was not an enemy that reproached him. In verse number 12, he says, if it was an enemy, he says, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man my equal, my guide, and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. And this person turned on him. And it affected David in a great way. It became a breach in his military. It became a problem to David. Brethren, we must be careful of breaches. We must guard against this breach in our own lives. When it comes to your family, speak well of them. Give the benefit of the doubt one to another. Go the extra mile. Practice forbearance. Be slow to react. Refuse to take things into your own hands. Pray, pray, pray. And let's not consume one another from within. Let's beware of what we say and what we listen to. Listen to me carefully tonight. There only had to be one noble and one Tobiah for internal betrayal to begin. There only has to be a couple for that to take place. It takes a listener and it takes a talker. And it just takes two people whose spirits are just a little bit tweaked. There's a little breach in their lives. And before long, you have big problems. And if that breach isn't closed up, it expands and it gets worse. May I say tonight, if you've got a breach in your life, and it may not be one of the breaches that I talked about. We talked about the breach of discouragement, the breach of withdrawal, and the breach of internal betrayal, all things drawn right from the book of Nehemiah. But if you have a breach in your life, and it may be something different tonight, now is the time to repair the breach. In Nehemiah chapter 6, there's a great phrase that really upset the enemy. I want you to see it as we close the message. Nehemiah 6, verse number 1. The Bible says, now remember, in Nehemiah 4:7, our text where we started tonight, the Bible says that Nehemiah began to stop the breaches. In Nehemiah chapter number 6, in verse number 1, the Bible says, now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that, watch this phrase, there were no breach left therein, though the doors had not been set upon the gates. Then that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono, but they thought to do me mischief. I think this is a very interesting thing in verses 1 and 2. The enemy could no longer get in. The only thing the enemy could do is invite out. Brethren, that's where we want the enemy. We want the enemy on the outside, not on the inside. And they heard no breaches were available, no cracks, no place to get into the city. The only thing they could do was invite Nehemiah to the outside, invite him to the place of Ono. Be a repairer of the breaches. I believe that a person that experiences personal revival is a person that begins to repair the breaches in his life. He begins to see them from God's perspective and see, ooh, here's an opening here. Here's a place that the devil can get into my life as a young person. I'm vulnerable here. I've got to close this breach up. Oh, here's a place over here in my family that the devil would like to get in. Oh, he's gotten in a little bit. Or he's gotten in the past. I'm going to close that breach. I'm asking you tonight, if there's a breach in your life spiritually, I'm asking you this question. With God's help, would you close the breach?